At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Dave Gill Chevrolet, we have back-to-school savings all month long. Check out our incredible selection of the latest Chevrolet models, including the rugged Silverado, the versatile Trax, and the stylish Equinox. We pride ourselves on exceptional customer service and unbeatable deals. So what are you waiting for? Visit us online at DaveGillChevy.com or stop by our dealership at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus. Dave Gill Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. See dealer for complete details.
Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, we just wanted to pop in and say, hola.
Hey.
Hey. And also let you guys know that we have a voicemail line that you can call. So we know that there's people out there that have stories because everybody has a story. If you have a driver's license, you probably have a story. But maybe you think that the story isn't going to fill an entire episode or you're a little shy and you wish you could tell a story, but you really don't know how to go about it. Well, if you don't want to email us and come on the actual show, you can call the voicemail line and leave us a voicemail. Get your pen and paper and write this down. It's 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K. Or 6375. That's 515-585-MERK or 6375. And we look forward to hearing your phone calls. You get 15 minutes to leave that voicemail. And I figured, you know what? One, if you guys have something you want to share with us that's more than 15 minutes, you can always call the line again and say, hey, it's me again, and just start your story off again. Or here's something to consider. If it's longer than 15 minutes, maybe you should email us and get on the show.
Yes.
Yes. So if you guys want to come on the show and just share your story through voicemail, go ahead and do that. 515-585-MERK.
There you go.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going to Hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience from the road that you want to share on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Dad, who are we talking to today?
Today we're talking to Jane. She works for the Minneapolis Transit Authority. She's a bus driver, and she's got some interesting stories, some really fun stuff, so it's going to be an interesting show.
Absolutely. I had a great time talking to her, so let's just get right to it.
Definitely.
All right, let's go. All right, today we got Jane on the show. Jane, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. So, Jane, where are you from?
I'm from Bloomington, Minnesota.
Bloomington, Minnesota. Now, okay, before we go any further, I just happened to come across your Facebook page because I'm doing this interview over Facebook, and in your bio, it says that you're vegetarian, 98% vegan.
Yes.
Please just break that down for me. Like, the ratio.
Because when I go out to a pizza place, I have to have real cheese.
Ah.
So, I gotcha. Yeah. But I'm really trying. I'm trying really hard.
I gotcha.
It's a difficult transition, isn't it?
Yeah, I started it about 2 years ago, and I started volunteering with at a chicken run rescue, which is crazy because it's a like paradise for chickens. But the people that run it are vegans, so I transitioned really quick.
Good.
I couldn't eat it. Once I saw how chickens had personality, I couldn't eat them anymore.
I hear that.
And I can't eat pigs, and I can't eat cows, and I can't eat any meat. So, yeah.
Well, I had a lot of hot dogs before we called you. Just saying.
you know, coming from his whole food plant-based father, I'm proud of you, Jane. That's good.
Thank you. I try really hard.
I do too. It's not easy because I'm at Tony's house. So, you know, he had hot dogs for lunch, you know. I mean, there was some potato salad and some grapes and, you know, but you do what you have to do at times. So, like, yeah, I know what you mean by 98%. I'm with you.
I bring that up because I find it interesting that we just got done doing an interview with a lady who's from Minnesota, and she was also a vegan, and she's a truck driver. And I just find it interesting. I'm like, two people in a row that are from Minnesota, they're both vegans. What are the odds? Apparently high.
Wow. That's got to be hard for a truck driver because you have to plan your meals. I mean, you can't just like stop into a gas station and pick up a vegan hot dog. You have to plan.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Really plan your meals.
So, but you do what you have to do. You know, you make it work.
So,
all right,
Jane.
So
you have experiences driving for, is it the city of Minneapolis, the transit?
Yes, it's Metro Transit. Yeah. Metropolitan Council runs it.
Okay. So, and you've been driving for how long? I know you said
13 years, 13 plus years. January 22nd, 2007, I was hired.
Okay. So those jobs seem like they're jobs that have stories behind them. Because I know we talked to, Pam, right? Pam, we talked to Pam and she's in Oregon and she does the same job in Oregon. I think it was Portland. Was it Portland, Dad? Do you remember?
It was something like that.
Yeah. So she had a lot of interesting stories. And so when you emailed us, We see you talking about a vampire guy, somebody spitting in your face, sexual assault, man crashed on in front of you in a bike, somebody crapped their pants. I mean, it must be people who drive city transit just must have the craziest stories.
Well, it's weird because you don't even realize it until it happens to you. And then you start recollecting and you're just like, did that really happen? I mean, did that person really do that? And I mean, since the riots and everything now and all the bathrooms are closed, it's just been a lot different people on there because nobody can go to the bathroom. I have a hard time trying to get to the bathroom. And a lot of the homeless people are riding the bus. So it's crazy right now, but everything's opening up and it's starting to get a little bit better.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
But I did. Okay. So on the bus, there's this MDT thing. So they can talk to us through there and they'll send us messages. And the last message, I couldn't believe it. So the last message was, I was going through like erasing them and I'm just like, la la la. I just decided to read this one and it says, look out, white female, blonde hair, purple tank top, flowered shorts. Do not let her ride the bus because she has shit all over her pants, all over her legs.
Apparently she had a hard time.
I laughed so hard. I laughed so hard when I got that. I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah. Literally.
Literally. And then that's a hazard. So when they get on the bus, if they get any poop on anything, then it has to be like brought back to the garage, quarantined, cleaned up. It's just a mess. And I don't know, but that's just horrible. Yes. And I've had that before. I mean, I've had little old men, like they'll get off. So we had high floors before, and those are the buses with steps. And now we have low floors, so there's no steps. But in the beginning, when I was driving, I mean, I would have little old men. I don't know if they were wearing boxer shorts and their pants or what, but they would just like get up the step and like shake a little turd out, and the turd would fall out of their pants.
Wow.
Seriously,
I don't know what even to say to that. What do you say to that? I mean, okay,
you just look at them. It's just like, okay, did you just do that? And they just kind of look at you and they're just, you know, nonchalantly shaking a turd out of their pants. which is bizarre.
Yes, it is.
I don't get it. Or they'll come up and they'll pay in the fare box and they'll just rip like two huge, really big farts and just look at you. And I'm just like, did you just rip those farts? I can't believe you just ripped those farts right in front of me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and by
the
way,
what goes on in Minnesota? Okay. What has happened to Minnesota? It seems like such a nice state when I was out there.
Well, okay, you remember how you had the transit lady on who said that the prostitute gave birth to like a big, huge poop in the bathroom?
Yep.
Okay. Picture this. I walk into the bathroom at my garage. And usually everybody poops in the handicap stall. So there's like three stalls. The handicap one has the highest toilet. I walk in and I look in the toilet. And I was like, what the hell is that? And then I looked again. And I swear to God, it was, you know how a 16-ounce can of beer looks?
Yeah.
But rounded on the end like a Tic Tac. There was a shit in there that big. And it was three different colors. Seriously, it was like Play-Doh. Remember how you play with Play-Doh and it get mixed together? So I went over and I tried to flush with my foot, and that sucker would not go down the hole because it was straddling the whole hole.
Oh my God.
Seriously. And I went to dispatch and I'm like, you need to get somebody in there to get that thing out of there. They're going to need like a knife or something to cut that thing up. And I never knew what happened, but that sticks in my memory forever now. I bring it up to other people.
Oh my gosh. It's like, hey, you're going to need to get a sword and you're going to need to samurai that thing.
Oh, it's just gross. It's just gross.
That's amazing. I can't imagine that person passing that thing.
Well, that's the thing of it.
Holy cow.
How can you have a baby like that out of your butt?
Good question.
Oh my gosh. Wow, the show got off on a great start. Within the first 10 minutes, we're talking about giant deuces. This is great.
Well, what do you expect? I mean, that's when that lady was talking, I was just like, I saw the same thing. I know it. I know it. I mean, it was just so reminiscent of the big poop that I saw. It was just incredible.
I'm going to name the show The Big Poop That I Saw. I mean, it's so reminiscent of The Big Poop That I Saw. How many times have people ever thought that? That, you know, that really reminds me of The Big Turd That I Saw.
You know? Well, my husband is a plumber, and he reminisces about the one that looked like a Dairy Queen and then actually came out of the water with a swirl.
Holy cow.
And it was at a church.
Wow.
Okay. We got a lot of poop stories here. A lot of poop stories.
This is turning into a real shit show.
Yes, it has.
So another memory of mine is, and this is a recent one, is it was just coming off of winter, and sorry, I'm sniffling a little bit. That's and right. So I pull up to the bus stop, it's winter time, and this guy gets on, and he had kind of like a one piece suit on, like a pilot would wear or something, you know, like a whatever, like a zip up thing, like a Carhartt or something. And the woman who got in front of him says, sir, you don't have any shoes on. Now, this is wintertime, right? And he looks down, he's like, yeah, I don't have any shoes. And then he's a foot away from me at the fare box. And he proceeds to start patting himself down to look for his transfer or his money. I notice that all of his fingers have been amputated from the middle knuckle up because of frostbite. And they look like little filet mignons. And then the Band-Aid around it look like bacon. Because you know how you see filet mignon, it is always wrapped in bacon. And then there was like that little bone in there. And it freaked me out so much. I was just like, sir, you do not need to get your ticket. You're fine. You don't need to pay me. And he just kept patting himself down. And I kept looking at these fingers and he's just insisting on paying me. And it looked so painful and just so raw. And it's just like, that was just freaked me out really bad. Really, really bad.
Yeah. That, I mean, see, was he homeless? As I know you said, you have a lot of homeless people riding.
Yeah, he was homeless. And at the time they could stay at the library because this was before coronavirus, but obviously mentally ill, but just totally unaware of his situation. I mean, it really freaked me out. It was bad.
Yeah.
And then he had socks on besides in the cold.
So he had socks, no shoes, and he had amputated fingers pretty much.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it gets cold as heck out there in Minnesota. You know, our youngest son went to college out there for a year. And, you know, I would just, you know, check on how he was doing or whatever. And it's like, what's the weather like? It's like 30 below. I'm like, holy crap. Glad I live in PA, you know? So it's cold out there. I mean, I can appreciate, you know, what that guy had to be going through. My word. Holy cow.
Well, yeah. And when I was in my 20s, I wanted to be a musher and live in Ely and have a whole mushing dog sled team. And now I'm just like, no way. I'm glad I did not go that route because it does get cold here.
Yeah. That's a dedicated lifestyle to the mushers. They actually, I mean, they pretty much live with the dogs. They are part of the pack. Like it's not that easy. Really isn't. That's a rough lifestyle.
No, I know. We had two huskies at first and now they passed away. Now we have a Malamute and a husky who's going to be 15 and a little fat beagle lab. So we're doing good here and they haven't done a day of work in their life. They've never had to work. They're so spoiled.
I'm sure.
It's a good life.
It's a good life at our house.
Talk to me about the vampire guy. That's all I know. Oh. But listen, when somebody says, I got to tell you the story about the vampire guy, I'm like, no need for details. Shoot.
Okay. So this was early in my career. And I was going by this Augustana home. And Augustana home is like a place for assisted living, people with mental illness, whatever. And I get this guy every day regularly. And he would get on my bus and he would say hi and hello and everything. And we got to know each other. Well, then one day, he apparently went and sat down next to a woman who was sitting at the window. So he kind of like got her boxed in there. And he was talking to this woman about how he was a vampire and how he liked to suck blood. And another passenger became concerned. So they came up to me and said, hey, this guy's got this woman kind of trapped in the seat. He's telling her he's a vampire. He likes to drink blood. And she looks really worried. So I said to him right away, I said, go tell her that she needs to come up here and talk to me. So he went back there and he got her out of the seat. So she got out of the seat and got away from him. In the meantime, the guy calls transit control and tells them what happened. And then they call me and I've said, yes, everything's okay. I got the young woman out of the situation and she's up here by me now and she's safe. Well, then the next day he gets on and I casually say to him, I say, hey, you know what? Today it would be really nice if you didn't talk about being a vampire. I said, you really, really scared that girl yesterday. And he's like, okay. And then another passenger got on right behind him. And apparently she's one of the nurses that works at Augustana home. And she said, do you know him? I said, no. And she says, he is one of the most violent patients we have. You just dodged a bullet. And I was like, why? And she said, because you don't talk to him about being a vampire. Nobody talks to him about being a vampire. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. He could have just went full roundhouse on me and just started punching me, but he didn't.
It'd be nice if they'd have put a sign on him that said violent, you know, violent person. Or,
you know, yeah. Hello. Cow. My name is, I'm a violent person on my shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, but he was nice after that. I mean, he was just probably hitting on the girl and trying to impress her.
What a way to do it, huh? Does this impress you?
Yeah. I'm a vampire. Okay, so what else has happened to me? Oh, the Cheetos guy. Okay, so I had kind of a rough route, and this kid gets on. And the worst thing that you can do as a bus driver is just be ignored, right? If they don't say anything, if they don't pay anything, they just walk right to the back of the bus. That really pisses me off because that's lack of respect for me. So this kid got on, and he had like this big skull belt buckle, and he was kind of short and stuff, and he got on my bus and just went to the back and rode. And then when I came back, that was northbound. So when I came back southbound, him and his two friends were at the bus stop, and I pulled over and I picked him up. And once again, that kid went right to the back of the bus. So I said to his two friends, I said, you know what? If your friend's not going to pay, you're going to pay for him. So then they were just like, dude, hey, this bus driver says we have to pay for you if you're not going to pay. That little son of a bitch came up and snuck right up on me and came around like behind me and spit, super, super hot Cheetos in my face. And I knew what it was right away because you know what the, you know, I've eaten them before and I could smell them. Thankfully, none of them got in my mouth. But then I opened up the front door and he ran out. So then I'm like, well, he's going to get away. So I'm going to hold his friends hostage. So these two little white kids.
One way to do it.
These two little, because they were talking to him on the phone. They had his phone number. They had everything. So these little shits, I held them hostage and they called 911. And then 911 called Metro Transit and told me to let them go. Which really pissed me off because I don't know if spitting on somebody was a felony back then, but it is now for sure. So, yeah, it's just, and I knew exactly what he was eating. That's the worst part.
Yeah, that's hard. It's like getting lava spit in your face.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he did it so sneakily. I don't think anybody else on the bus knew because I think the other passengers would have stood up for me if they had known. But he was just so quick and fast.
Wow. You know, I think it's like, you have those things happen to you. You start thinking to yourself in this split second, you're like, is it worth losing my job for? Because I want to kill him.
Yeah, that's it. You cannot get out of the seat. You cannot get out of the seat.
Wow.
And I actually followed him in slow-mo down the road while he was walking, waiting for the cops to come bust him. But of course the cops, which was really sad, is now that all of this George Floyd stuff has happened, I look back and I'm thinking about how they grabbed, I gave a description and they grabbed another boy and brought him, and they handled him really rough, and they brought him to me and asked him if it was him. And I just like, no, that's not him. And I really wanted to apologize to him because I felt like, you know, I don't mean to be downer on the police or anything, but I thought that they need to really, before they arrest somebody and put them in handcuffs, they really need to know if somebody did something or not. So,
right. Right.
I felt bad about that.
Well,
well,
I had something sarcastic to say, but I was like, better
no,
not.
No, go ahead. Do it.
No. You see, I have another show I need to worry about as well. So I am going to censor myself on that one. Wiser thoughts prevailed.
You know, what's funny is when I hear these things, when I hear these stories of like mass transit, like what you do and that kind of stuff, nothing makes me happier to be a nighttime truck driver. I'm by myself in the middle of the night, very little traffic. Nobody ever spits in my face. Nobody,
yes.
You know, nothing like that is going on. I mean, my heart, you know, I think about you, you know, you guys doing your job, and it's like, wow. I mean, you're dealing with the public, and you know, in my little world where I'm driving, it's like, nope, I'm content to be a nighttime truck driver and listen to what I want to listen to. And you know, but the stories are awesome. The stories that you guys have are awesome. That's what makes this show, and that's what makes, you know, what you do exciting.
But you know, it's funny because I could drive the train if I wanted to. I have enough seniority. I could drive the train and I could be in my little bubble, but I can't. I'm very social. I like my passengers. I get to know a lot of them. I make friends with my passengers. To an extent, I mean, like I'll go out and have like drinks with them or something, but we don't like go to each other's homes or anything. But, I do. I like people. I was in graphic arts. So I went to BCTC in Minneapolis in 1986 or 1990, something like that. And I became a graphic artist. And this was right before Windows popped out. And I was doing all this work, and I was like behind a desk, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to make it in this graphic arts world and all that kind of shit. And then I don't know how many times I put on a resume that I was a team player. I am not a team player. I am all about me, and I want to get my shit done, and I want to go to work and go home and be done. And that's the best part about driving is you, even if there's a snowstorm, you still know that you're going to get home.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you don't have to really rely on anybody else to get your work done. So that's what I enjoy about it a lot.
Yeah. When I first started driving, I actually drove school buses. And so those passengers weren't, you know, well, you know, I'll tell you, nobody spit in my face. I haven't had anybody tell me they're vampires and all that stuff. But I was coming home after dealing with a bus full of kindergartners every day with headaches. I don't know. I'm very happy alone in my truck by myself. So hats off to you. I just, wow.
I drove school bus for a while too, and it was funny the difference between the rich kids and the poor kids, because the poor kids were brats and they would slash the seats and do graffiti, and the rich kids were just like, oh la la la, my mom and dad walked me to the bus stop today. So it was a really, really different kind of situation for me. I was just like, the first run was good because it was the rich kids, and the second one wasn't very good because it was the poor kids. And it's really sad that that happens. How
were the Christmas gifts then with the rich kids?
I got cards with money and gift cards.
I guess that's one thing I still,
as a bus driver, that girl that had the vampire guy corner her, she actually sent me a really, really nice thank you card. And then we have this one guy named Jack who, on Metro Transit, if you get his run, because we have picks every 12 to 17 weeks, and then you're like, since I'm part-time Monday through Friday, I have the same route all the time. So this Jack guy, he every year after you're done getting to the end of the pick, he will give the bus driver $30 and a card and say thank you, which is really nice.
That is really nice. That's really cool. It's neat to have people like that, that there are nice people around yet.
Yeah. I mean, they appreciate you, which is kind of cool.
That definitely.
You know, I would say not everybody appreciates you and your job, because you told us in this email that was it you that was sexually assaulted?
Yes, yes.
What? Oh my word. Okay. What happened?
Okay, so I can laugh about it now because it's totally ridiculous, but at the time it was very traumatic. So, like I said, there's, you know, in Minneapolis, the Red Cross is putting a lot of homeless people up in hotels. So on my 6 line, I was going southbound, and my 6 line ends at Minnesota Drive, which was just like a block away from where this guy got on my bus. So I dropped a person off, and then this guy flagged me down, and I said, sir, you know, this bus stops, this terminates at Minnesota Drive. And he says, can I swear on this thing? He says, I've been waiting for fucking buses for 5 hours. And I said, okay. So I knew right away he was agitated. So I like, customer service, here we go. So I'm like, okay, well, you can stay on my bus and I can drop you off at Lyndale or Nicollet or Portland, and then you can go downtown. So I'm just like, la, 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 la. I'm almost done with my shift, and I'm just driving along, and I get to Portland Avenue, and I'm like, this is your stop, sir. And I look down, and this guy had creeped up on me. So he was like hovered down by the fare box. I'm up in the seat. He'd creeped down by the fare box, and he looked at me, and he put his hands in my crotch, and he fondled me, and then he rubbed my leg. And then he went in for the kiss, and I was just like, no freaking way. So I had my window open at the time. I turned to my left, and he kissed me on my shirt. And then I put my arm up, and I like hit him, and I said, you need to get off this bus right now. And then he kind of backed off. And then I hit the silent alarm. I locked the bus up, which I really shouldn't have, because I could have used my bus as a weapon. I locked my bus up. I called transit control emergency. And I said, you need to get off my bus. Well, then he looked like he was going to go again. So I'm like, okay, he's getting off. He's getting off. He came up again, and he put his hand in my crotch and fondled me. And I was so upset. I was just crying. I was just like, you need to get off my bus. And I was just so upset. And he finally got off my bus, but he just kept walking back and forth in front. Like he didn't want to go. Like I don't understand what he was trying to accomplish. And then he came up to the window that was open, and I shut my window. And then he hung around for a little bit, and I was on with transit control the whole time, talking and telling them what's going on. And then he crossed Portland Avenue and he was going to get the northbound bus going downtown, the 5 bus. And he jumped on that bus, and thankfully transit control had called that bus driver and told him to hold until the police got there. So then the Richfield police, so Metro Transit police are downtown. They're not really all over the place. So the Richfield police came, and they arrested him and put him in handcuffs and everything. And then, and to this day, I'm like, what did that guy think, that I was going to say that felt good? I want to be your girlfriend. Do you want to be my boyfriend? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. So anyway, he ended up getting 3 felonies and a $30,000 bail, but he's mentally ill, so he's going to be in a mentally ill facility until November, and if he takes all of his meds, he might get out, which is really sad.
Wow, yeah, that's kind of crazy, you know, someone who is that type of criminal, who has that kind of propensity, to be left out after just such a short amount of time. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, my heart goes out to you. I can't imagine being in your position and going through what you went through. So, you know, kudos to you for at least being strong enough to look at it and talk about it now. And
yeah, it's funny because everybody says, well, why didn't you smash him in the head? Why didn't you punch him? Why didn't you do this? This man was very big and very strong. And thank God he didn't get rough with me and he didn't try to, you know, take me to the back of the bus and do anything. But I just, you know, everybody handles it their own way. And I thought I handled it the best way that I could. And nothing bad came of it. I wasn't hurt. I wasn't beaten. I wasn't, you know, fondled roughly, which was really weird because he actually was like, and I told the police officer this, he was like kind of gentle. I mean, he wasn't, which blows my mind because it's like, what did he want?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I can look at, that was April 13th. And I look at it now and I'm just like, what the hell was that guy thinking?
Wow. You know? That's not that long ago at all. I mean, that's just within a few months. Good Lord.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm glad it happened to me and not somebody else. I mean, this is going to sound really weird on the interview, but I'm a sexual person. So stuff like that doesn't really bother me. But if it would have been like one of my coworkers, who isn't like that, I would have felt really bad for them. So I think in my lifetime and in my experience, I could handle it really well.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't want to see that happen to anybody. You know, I have a wife and a daughter, and I wouldn't want to see that happen to them. And I don't want to see that happen to any woman. That nobody should have to tolerate those types of things. But right. I'm glad you were okay. And your reaction to it, you're right. Who knows what's the right reaction? You know, everybody's going to respond to it in their way. And had you done something that was in any way kind of taken as violence towards him, he could have responded in a much more violent way. You know, till somebody got there to help. So, you know, it's like, what's the correct response? I don't know, whatever got you through it and got you through it as safely as possible. So, you know, how I view it. I think you handled it well.
Thank you. And I look back and I'm just like, I could have used my bus as a weapon. I could have gunned it and just shot across the street and had a huge pile up or whatever. But then that wouldn't have been good either. I just, you know, but looking now, I am very caught. For a while there, I had kind of PTSD and I was just like really jumpy, but I'm starting to get back to being my own normal self. And I make sure when everybody gets on, I say good morning to them and thank you. And that way I can kind of keep track of people too. I mean, I have always done that. I've just been, I can't believe somebody took advantage of my kindness, which is really kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is.
So, in that kind of situation, I do imagine there would be PTSD involved and stuff. I think a lot of times people get that from those kind of, not just that kind of situation, but just extreme situations in general. And I don't think everybody recognizes the fact that they actually are dealing with that. I'm glad that you made it through, obviously. And I'm really surprised also by how close it is to the time that we're recording. I mean, I was thinking it was years ago. You
right,
know?
Right. That's what I thought too.
No. And you guys talk about how, you know, I love it when you talk about how the bus is like, people cut you off and stuff and that yeah. they don't understand that you can't stop very fast. And so I was going like 30 miles per hour down a street in Minneapolis. And I noticed to the left of me, that they're, you know how the bikers guys, they don't want to put their foot down. They just hop around and they just do that goofy stuff because right. they don't want to get off their bike.
Exactly.
So this guy was doing that and I was watching him because I was getting the big picture, you know, aim high and steering, get the big picture, that whole Smith system.
There
thing.
You go. Yep.
You guys know that?
Oh yeah. That's our PSA announcement today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. System. I'm glad you guys
aim
know about
high
that.
And steering,
so
yes.
Anyway, so I'm watching him and he's jumping around and then he missed it. So I'm slowing down. I'm getting down to 25 and he ends up wiping out in front of my bus, full frontal, just like, bam, totally wrecked his bike. I had to slam on my brakes so freaking hard that, okay, you know what? The peanut seats are the seats right behind the bus driver. One of my passengers was thrown from those seats to a full spread eagle on the floor in my bus, and his glasses came off. That's how hard I had to slam on my brakes.
Wow.
Because of this guy on the bike. And the guy on the bike came up to me, and I'm like, I almost killed you. I mean, do you realize what you just did? And then he apologized to everybody on my bus. And I really wish I would have called the police though and got information, because, you know, maybe that person that did do the crappie flop or whatever could, I mean, I'm sure Metro Transit took care of him, but could have got the information from him and maybe privately sued him. I don't know, but it was just so ridiculous. People don't understand how big a bus or a truck is, and they mess with them. They just mess with them.
Yes. They get careless. They get careless around mm-hmm. something that weighs, you know, anywhere from 30 to 80,000 pounds. And you're screwing around with that. You know, don't get careless around that kind of stuff, because it's dangerous.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, I saw just this past week, it was a park trailer, it was a drop trailer. And there was a guy in a Miata, and he was, I shouldn't say guy, it was like a kid. I mean, he was in his early 20s at least. And he just was deciding to toy around and stuff, and he was pulling up to this drop trailer, and I forget where it was. I just had this image in my head. And he was putting his nose underneath the trailer to see if he could fit underneath the trailer.
What
he was doing was he was trying to test if he could fit underneath the trailer in his Miata, because he was planning on trying to do it while he was driving down the highway like Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, you know how container trailers, they sit higher?
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. he was doing it on that.
Wow.
And so if he tries it on a trailer that isn't a container, he might have some serious problems when he realizes he doesn't fit.
Yeah, and at that point, it may be a little bit too late.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what made me think of that, though. That was very random. Hey, you know, I'm Tony, whatever. So
no, you see a lot of weird shit out there, and it's just, most of it is people picking their noses, but a lot of it is just weird stuff. I remember one time, so somebody thought I had cut them off or something, so they you know, they're like honking at me, and I didn't know what I did, and then they slowed down and got behind my bus, and this was on the freeway, and they got up to my driver window, and they're like trying to pick a fight with me on the freeway, and I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do this with you. So I gave them the finger, and so my manager called me in, and she's like, Jane, did you really give somebody the finger? And I'm like, yeah. And I explained to her, and I said, if they thought that I was driving that dangerous, why the hell would they pull up next to my driver window and try to engage with me? I mean, that's ridiculous. So nice. I didn't get in any trouble, but it was just like, come on, seriously, why would you even mess with why would you even pull up to a trucker or a bus driver and try to engage with them on the freeway? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you get that stuff. I mean, people get the hot-headedness and stuff out there. And, you know, I remember the one time I was driving through probably Philly, some city, and I'm sure it was Philly, and something happened. I must have cut somebody off. That happens a lot. You know, you're driving a big vehicle, and somebody's got to get cut off. When there's a lot of traffic, and you see the biggest gap you've seen in 5 minutes of sitting at an intersection waiting to pull out, somebody's getting cut off. And so he cut the guy off, and, you know, he's got brakes that work. And
hopefully.
Hey, hopefully he wasn't texting. And so he didn't like it, though. And I could hear him laying on the horn. He's flashing his lights at me. And I'm just like, listen, Junior, I don't care. What are you going to do? And so what I look in my mirror, and I see this guy holding his phone at his windshield videotaping me. So like, I'm like, what are you trying to prove? I cut you off? Yeah, I did. And
yeah, it happened.
If it wasn't you, it was somebody else. He pulls up next to me. He's trying to film. And so I just called dispatch and I said, listen, I got a guy who's literally filming me while I drive because I cut him off. So if he tries calling in and saying I did anything else, it ain't true. I'm just letting you know. And he, of course he didn't and stuff, but you know, it's tough guy stuff. I mean, people get this hot-headedness out there. They're all of a sudden these tough guys. And the funny thing is, you see guys act like that in their vehicles while you're driving, and they don't know how big you are. They see you in a big truck. What if I step out? What if you're 5'2" and I'm 6 feet and I get out and you're like, you got a problem? What are you going to do? You better hope you know Taekwondo, because I'm just saying, I outweigh you a lot, So it's just funny because people get so like the hot-headedness, but they really don't know who they're messing with. You don't know if the person that's driving that vehicle knows, is a third degree black belt of something or has a gun.
Exactly. Or could have a gun.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, I don't know what it's like in Minnesota, but in Pennsylvania, we can carry guns. And lots of people do. And so, you get this road rage and stuff. Just last year, I'm hijacking the show. It's okay, though.
I'll say, we'll get back to you, Jane.
Is it legal for you guys to have cell phones, though, and drive at the same time out there?
No,
we're not allowed to.
No, okay, not here either.
Yeah, no. Last year, I was just maybe like 15 minutes from my house. There was a guy who pulled up next to a girl. I believe this is how it went. It was a girl that was in college, and nobody knows why he did it, but he pulled up next to her at a red light and blew her away and then just drove off.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they were viciously hunting this guy down, and I think he turned himself in, and I don't ever remember hearing why, but it seemed like it was just a very random thing. Like, people who saw it, they're like, he just pulled up like a normal car, boom, and then left. And it's just like crazy. Like, people are just crazy out in the road. Like, just crazy, 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 crazy.
Wow, that's scary.
It really is.
In Minneapolis now, everybody's shooting everybody. Every night there's been a shooting. I mean, random people. I don't know what I decided on Friday night or Friday afternoon that I was going to get rid of my cable. So I completely called them up and shut it all off. I haven't had cable since. I still don't have it.
Yeah, I got rid of cable.
So I don't know what's going on. I'm going to get new boxes on Tuesday. But I've been listening to the news or reading the news, and everybody's getting shot in Minneapolis, and it's just random, and it's crazy. Everybody's just wild everywhere.
Yeah, it's like the country has lost their heads. It just seems to be everywhere. And it's a shame. It really is. I don't know. I got rid of cable years ago. I was tired of paying for stuff that I'm not watching. So I was like, I got Netflix, I got Amazon, and Hulu, and I'll dictate what I'm going to watch and if I'm going to watch a commercial or not. I'll control the news feed.
It's depressing. It's really depressing.
Yeah, and I can't, out there in Minneapolis, I'm sure, it's crazy out there, and it's the world we're living in today. That's all I can say. But back to you, Jane.
Well, I think Europe is predicting we're going to have a civil war. So I don't know. But
Jane, we're already in a civil war. Let's just be honest. Like, we're in a civil war. It's just if you're waiting for a civil war to unfold how it did 200 years ago, you're going to be waiting a long time, because what we're seeing right now, we've been seeing a civil war in ideologies for years. And that civil war has now turned into violence in the streets of our cities. It's just a different type of civil war. It's not what we're accustomed to seeing in civil war, where there's two organized sides and they're fighting against each other. We're talking about a civil war of many fractions of groups in our country. Many, not just two. Mm-hmm. There's many groups there's many groups of individuals in our country that stand for something, and they're fighting against three, four, five other groups. And that's what we're dealing with right now. We are in civil war. And, Europe saying that doesn't surprise me. I talk to people outside the country, obviously, with the other show that I do. And it's like, from the outside looking in, people say it looks like America's falling apart. And I say, hey, from the inside looking out, it looks America's falling apart. We're lost. And so that's why we have Hammer Lane Legends, to entertain people and get their mind off of the mainstream news and all that stuff. So let's bring it back, because I could go off, but I'll say that for another time. Jane, you wrote. And part of your experience is I love when people do this, by the way, when you just like one word, one sentence description of
that's good.
It's perfect. But in your description of your experiences, you just put down groupies. What do you have groupies?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm a married woman, and I have short hair though. Did you see my Facebook thing, like my avatar? So I kind of look like Ellen DeGeneres. So I don't know if somebody would think I was a bisexual or a homosexual or a gay woman, but I got groupies, and I got it's weird because I don't know if they're slow or they're just the first one I got was a woman who I'd always pick up on the 22 line, and she would just start bringing me presents and just random stuff and a coffee like every day or whatever, and then she would ask me, when's your birthday? And then she would get me a birthday present. And then she would say when her birthday was, like she was expecting me to get her a birthday present. And it just got to the point where I couldn't handle it anymore. I mean, she wanted to know my home phone number. She wanted to know if we could hang out, and the gifts kept coming. And then I was just like, I can't accept these anymore. I just can't. You know, whatever it was weird. It was like jewelry or something. Or she'd say, I found this on the bus and I thought you'd like to have it. Or just really weird shit like that. And then I had another woman who, she was kind of like a Calamity Jane kind of woman. Kind of like, you know, like a cowgirl with a big hat and kind of a big girl. And she was just kind of like goofy and had like overalls and stuff. And she started bringing me jewelry too and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Maybe because I'm, you know, I always fault myself because I think I'm too nice to people, but that it's not my fault because I'm just being nice. But yes, I do get groupies. And thankfully, thank God, I haven't gotten any guy groupies because there are guys that stalk a lot of bus drivers sometimes.
Wow. Go figure. Right?
Yeah. What happens is like we like I said before, we change routes every 12 to 17 weeks. So if a guy gets a new bus driver and goes up and says, so, hey, what happened to my old bus driver? She was really nice. And then that bus driver just doesn't even think about it. We'll say, well, she's on the route 17 now. And then that guy will show up on the route 17. So that's happened a couple times, too. Where, yeah, stalkers have gotten pretty bad.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's crazy. I don't know. I guess walking through life with a normal mindset, I mean, as normal as anybody else, you know what I mean? I never thought about those things. It's like, I don't even know what to say. You know what I mean? It's like that mass transit groupies. I never thought about that. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, if you're Billy Joel, you know, you get it. You know, if you're Ellen DeGeneres, you get it. But like mass transit groupies, okay, that's kind of, you know, that's different. And then
they bring you presents, and then they expect to have a relationship with you or whatever. Right. Not a sexual one, but just even like a friendship. And it's just odd. It's odd. It's really weird. But
yeah. I mean,
I haven't had that happen in a long time. That was when I first started, and I haven't seen that woman in a long time. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if hey, you need friends, just talk. I mean, I can be friendly and just talk. You don't have to buy me a gift to talk. You know, I mean, I'm here.
Right.
It's not like I'm going
and you don't,
anywhere.
and you don't buy a birthday present and tell the other person that your birthday's coming up in the next month and expect them to get you something.
Exactly.
Jesus. That's really freaky. Hey, but on the lighter note, one time I was driving down Nicollet Mall and Aerosmith was in town.
Cool.
So I was Aerosmith. You know what Aerosmith is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I pulled up to a bus stop, and lo and behold, Joe Perry, and I think the Tom Hamilton, is it Tom Hamilton or Joe Hamilton? I can't remember. It was one of the long-haired blonde guys.
I'm not sure.
They were standing on the corner, and I was just like, I was so freaked out. I was just like, oh my God, that's Joe Perry. That's another guy from Aerosmith. Oh my God. And nobody on my bus knew, because when they come to Minneapolis is a small city. Nobody really knows who these people are. So celebrities can just walk the streets and do whatever they want. And I worshiped them as rock gods in my teenage years.
Right.
And
I really
wanted to get out and get a selfie or an autograph. But previously, a month earlier, bus driver in Chicago or New York City had gotten out and got her picture taken with, I don't know if it was a basketball player or a celebrity or whatever, but she got fired. So that kind of hampered me from getting out of my bus and doing that, which is kind of sad because I really would love to go hug those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure. You can't fire somebody for that. I mean, come on. I mean, hey, well, don't you have a union or something that protects you guys?
Yes, we do. 1005. Yes, yes. It's a great union. And the union steward is David Stiggers, and he's a great guy.
Well, that's good.
I mean, come on. How great can it be if it didn't protect somebody from getting fired?
I don't know. That was in a different city, in a different state.
Oh,
and I just,
okay. I just
thought about that, and I was just like, maybe somebody complained. Maybe the route was 10 minutes late, and then somebody called up and said, hey, this bus driver got out and just spent some time with this person on the street. I don't know.
But you know what? That person got a chance to walk away with a memory that will never be taken away. That job may have ended. They'll find another job. But they've got a memory that they're you know, you can't replace that. That's how I see it. I mean, I don't know. Because I would feel the same way if I saw Aerosmith or if I saw AC/DC or something, you know. Even Billy Joel, I love Billy Joel. That's my own, yeah. That's my own, you know, because Jim Morrison and the Doors are dead. Well, Jim Morrison is, and he was. That's my favorite group. But you know, if I saw Billy Joel, I'd be like, I'd pull my truck over and get an autograph. And you know, I mean, there's other jobs. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with you.
Totally, totally. I really regret that, and but it was, they were so awesome. I mean. They're just their presence and the clothes. They had like really like grungy clothes on, but you could tell they were very expensive.
Right, exactly.
expensive shoes, very expensive grungy clothes, very expensive whatever. But they looked really good.
They paid a lot of money to have that dirty look.
yes, they did.
It's expensive.
Oh my God. I have stories about being a groupie when I was a teenager, but I'm not going to go into that. Seriously. I met Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, all kinds of people, but I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be pretty entertaining, but I'd say, I understand why you're not going to go into that.
it would be just like too off. So, but I still have some more stories, and some of them are sad and some of them are really good. I mean, so, well, back on the sadder part, somebody decided to commit suicide on the 46th Street Bridge, and the 46th Street Bridge goes over 35W North and over 35W South. And this was a couple of years ago. And the bus stop is in the middle. So you actually travel in the left lane and then you like crisscross over and then pick people up. And I remember that morning, I was just like, why aren't there any cars coming on the southbound lane? And then I got into the bus stop area and all of the passengers that were down there were just like staring across the street. And I looked over and somebody had committed suicide, and it was before anybody got there. So the body was on the freeway, crumpled up. You could just tell it was just the legs were in different directions and everything. And then one of the police officers had thrown like his high visibility coat over it.
Right.
So that was there, and I had to see that, and the passengers probably had to see it, and it was kind of creepy, but it just, things like that happen all the time. Like the you know, like your first show, the guy who said the guy pulled over with his car and the guy just jumped off the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you and I did actually, I just actually missed that. One day I was driving over the bridge over the Mississippi River, and I noticed there were three ambulances and a couple of fire trucks, and the person had just jumped before I'd got there, because you could just tell by the disappointment in the police officer's eyes and the EMTs that the person had just jumped, and they couldn't do anything from there. So, well, and here's a good side about me. I totally rescue animals when I'm on the road too. So,
that's good.
There's this one route where, there's always snapping turtles. They're crossing the road and it's on 46th Street. And so I'm always rescuing snapping turtles. So I just usually pick them up by the tail and put them on over to the park. Well, this one snapping turtle was a lot bigger than I thought it was. And I picked him up and I had my Metro Transit shorts on. Okay, I lock up the bus. All the people on the bus are like, yay, she's saving a turtle. So I this snapping turtle came a half an inch from grabbing my shin. And I was just petrified because I thought, because I'd worked at the Wildlife Rehab Center, and I know the only way you can get a snapping turtle off you when they bite you is if you put your finger up their butt. So this turtle...
I did not know
almost,
that.
This turtle almost had my shin, and I kept thinking, well, if he bites me, I'm going to have to put my finger up his ass, and then he's going to bite me again. So I put him down, and I dragged him across the road. He was fine. And then when I got back on the bus, everybody's like, yay, superhero bus driver, you saved a turtle.
next time something bites me, I think I'll keep my fingers to myself.
Oh, that's crazy. And then like just like I was driving the other day and I saw a domestic bunny in somebody's yard, and I'm just like, okay, what's that bunny doing there? That's not very safe for that bunny. So after my shift, I went back and I went up to the door and I knocked on the door and I said, so is that your bunny? And he said, no, it's just hanging around here. So I grabbed it and put it in my car, and I found a foster for the bunny. And lo and behold, that bunny had 4 baby bunnies like 2 days later.
Wow.
Well, So I'm kind of like an auntie or a grandma or something, but yeah, I got the bunny off the streets.
Well, that's good. that's nice. I mean that it's a nice thing to do. It's a good thing to do. That's a human thing to do. I think that's good.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the hardest part about driving buses or riding on the freeway with the buses, like baby ducks and mama ducks and cats and dogs. And you see that stuff and it's just, it's heartbreaking and you can't really do much to help because you're like, well, you could because you're driving a truck, but I have passengers and like I said, some of them won't be as friendly about that.
Right.
So, well,
yeah,
I think that's all my stories, guys.
We talked you out.
You talked me out. I didn't even slur my words, did I?
No.
What? Let me ask you, why would you slur your words?
Because I'm drinking wine and my husband said, you better not get drunk while you're talking to them and start slurring your words.
No, you didn't slur words. You did great. So listen, okay. Jane, I appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks. I like telling them. It's just I really like my job. I love it. And I really like being a part of the community and actually trying to like I said, every morning I say hello. Good morning. Thank you. And then the people actually after like a couple of weeks, they start to warm up to you. And then they and then I get their patterns. So if they're running late, I wait for them and kind of stuff. That's why I do it. I feel really good about what I do because I love my job.
That's cool. That is really cool. I think that's great. And you should love your job. It's something, you know, when you do something like that and you're working with the public, I think that's a cool thing to actually love what you're doing. It takes a special person, honestly, because I drive alone and I don't know if I could do what you do. You know what I mean? I guess if I needed to, you know, eventually at some point in my life, I may, you know, get a little bit older. But anyway, you know, right now I'm content being alone. But it is cool that you enjoy it. I'm glad you do. It's a necessary job. We need to have it done. And thank you for doing it.
Yeah, I don't think that anything's going to change in that department for you.
No, it's not.
But when you get older, you're not going to want to be around people anymore.
Tony's like, you can get older.
No. Yeah, seriously, you guys, if I retired right now, I would just start drinking every day at 3:00. I'd be so screwed.
That doesn't sound like a bad deal, you know?
We actually bought 10 acres in Wisconsin and we just put a trailer on it. And that's where we go on the weekends. And it's really a nice place to escape. And there's lots of animals out there and we have our dogs up there and that's how I escape. And then I come back on Monday through Friday and I get my social interaction in.
There you go. Hey, everybody has their own thing that works for them. I honestly don't think that everybody could do your job. It's something that, it takes a special character. And you know what? the talking to you over the last hour, you definitely seem like the kind of person that, like, it's like you're built for this. You like socializing with people. You don't take yourself too serious. And when crazy stuff happens, you kind of just roll with the punches. You're flexible. And that's what you have to be in this kind of job. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
They can share the show. Tell a friend, tell your wife, tell your husband. Go on Facebook. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Instagram. Share it on Twitter. Just share the show. Take it out there and share it so we get out there. More exposure.
More exposure is key. So if you're in the truck and you're listening, you might want to also go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, when you're at the stop, and purchase a sticker. Because if you get a Hammer Lane Legends logo sticker, you can put that on the rig and people can say, hey, what's a Hammer Lane Legend? You can say, listen, you need to listen to Hammer Lane Legends because these guys are freaking awesome. And they got a cool show and you should call in and tell your stories because I did.
Copy that.
So, yeah, just, you know, go to the website. And if you want some swag and stuff, we got T-shirts, hoodies in there, stickers. There's more stuff coming. I'm not sure what's all in there. We should probably look at that and maybe update it.
Coffee mugs, hats.
Yeah. But anyways, everybody, thank you very much for being here. Thanks for hanging out with us and listening to the stories. We are enjoying doing the show. As long as you guys are emailing us with your stories, we'll continue it. And until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
When I pull out a buzzer, they all wish me luck. It's like they always did before. With a bulletproof screen on the hood of my truck and a Bradley on my back door. I wander up and I shift it. This prayer to my Lord. Said, God, get me back home to Houston alive, and I won't drive a truck anymore. It's early in the morning, I'm rolling fast, I'm on 9,000 gallons of hot test gas. Sergeant on the radio hollering at me, said, look out over here, here come a RPG. If I ever get home to Houston alive, I won't drive a truck anymore. Well, I've driven big rigs for all of my life. Water in my veins. When I come over here, 'cause I just didn't care. Now I'm older and wiser by far. Yeah, if I ever get home to Houston alive, I won't drive a truck anymore. Me and Rick got the money, what's wrong with me? I know the money's good, but I can't see. Take it with it, ain't no lie. I don't want to get me out too young to die. If I ever get home to Houston alive, then I won't drive a truck anymore.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.